There are some conversations you simply shouldn't miss. Afternoon Talk with Ashraf Garda on SAFM.
And it certainly is Afternoon Talk. Goodness, it's been this crazy long weekend. 4 days. Seems like 5 or 6, and got to work this morning and to renew our access cards as is normal this time of the year, and you realize it's actually the 3rd of April and not like the 1st of April. So much has happened over the last few days, right? Let's, however, talk about things. We have our CEO of the NYDA in the spotlight later on, and from 2:30 we talk tech. Lots of important developments in the field of technology. But as always, we start with our thought leader feature. We pick out somebody's brain who has a strong view on an issue, and we get them to explain it and we tackle them on it. And today it's the issue of the female agenda. That means, you know, who effectively is in charge of pushing the female agenda. Should it be female? Sounds very obvious, but maybe that's not the case. So your thoughts do matter. You can answer it right away, of course. 0891 104207. Tweet me, Ashraf Garda. Tweet SAFM Radio. When you do that, use hashtag Afternoon Talk as per always. And SMS is 40938. 40938. So who's in charge of pushing the female agenda? Who should be doing just that? My guest is someone we've chatted to before, of course, Zipho Sikhakane, who's a global speaker, business strategist, specializing in leadership, entrepreneurship, and doing business in Africa, with an MBA from Stanford. And need I say, she's a woman. Okay, so you got that. Zipho, good chatting to you. Hi.
Hi, Ashraf. How are you?
I'm very good indeed. Right. So you have some specific issues around what? Women empowerment and where they are and who's pushing it. But perhaps you should answer that initial point, you know, about who's in charge of pushing the women's project.
Absolutely. I mean, right now, I think we really need to shift the narrative around who's in charge, because I think the problem is so big, right, that ultimately we've basically been doing it all wrong. And actually, the numbers are proving it. You know, we haven't been able to achieve gender equality to this point, and the gap is still significant. But in terms of who's in charge, we always look at the women, right? So we look up and we say, so who are the women that have made it? Mm-hmm. And therefore, they should take on the responsibility of helping other women to get to that point. But the problem with me with that narrative is that those women in senior positions, those women in positions of influence, are still the minority. And if anything, the majority that are still able to influence what happens is still the males in the organization. And I guess my big push is to say, this is an agenda that men should be taking on in organizations, not necessarily that one or two women that have just made it past the glass ceiling. If you think about it, they're in a very limited position of influence, even at that point, because the majority is still sitting with the predominantly male leadership.
When did this come about? I mean, I think it's a given that the disparities in terms of women empowerment, not just in South Africa, but globally, are incredibly wide, right? We know that.
Having said that,
when did this happen that we took it as a given that a successful woman then has to ensure that space is open for another successful woman, but that same responsibility doesn't go with the men? I mean, I'm trying to understand the narrative. When did that happen? Who decided that?
Absolutely. And to be honest, I don't know who decided it, but ultimately it happens because we do the same with any minority group, right? So think about it. Even when it comes to race, so if a certain race is underrepresented, we go to the people from that race and we ask them to figure it out. And we do the same behavior with gender to say, well, you must take on the responsibility since you are the one who's ultimately made it to the top. So it sits on you to make it work for everyone else, because ultimately you know how it should be done, right? But what people take for granted is that even for that one woman to make it, they were actually mentored by the men that were ahead of them. They didn't even get there on their own, right? But then when we are looking at the women thereafter, we don't therefore say, oh, please, can everyone help? We always then look to the women who are already in minority in the top, but also still just under a lot of pressure because they're also overburdened from the opportunity of just being able to make it to the top at that point.
Okay, I certainly welcome your contribution, you as in male or female or first-time caller or regular. Either way, you can call in 0891 104207. Think about this. Who should take ownership of the, and I'm paraphrasing, who should take ownership of the Women Empowerment Project? When we talk about empowering women in business, in leadership, and we know there are massive deficits, who should be taking ownership? Is it women only, as many believe? women and men, you know, what more needs to be happening? So perhaps your own experiences, your thoughts, perhaps what you may be doing in your own companies or organizations is something that you may want to share. And if you have an opinion on it, well, I want to hear it. 0891 104207. Let's just talk, Zippo, about the numbers here. Understand what 5% of leaders, business leaders around the world are women. Is it as low as that?
It is as low as that. So actually less than 5% of the businesses in the whole world are led by women, right? And even if you look at just senior leadership positions, right, it's less than 25% that sits with women, which is a big problem. And also, you know, South Africa is the same, right? So we are 28%, so we're slightly better than the global average in terms of women in senior leadership positions. However, we haven't changed much. I mean, it's been 28% for years, you know, and it's not changing significantly. And so it's a problem because what it means is that a lot of people focus on the equality angle. You know, it's the right thing to do. It's fair. But what it means is that actually our businesses and our organizations are not benefiting from the value that comes from actually having a more diverse leadership team. So, you know, research has actually shown that organizations that are led have women, even one or two in board positions, they actually perform significantly better than the organizations that don't. So this doesn't just make sense for fairness. It makes sense for actual profitability. It makes sense for ensuring that those profits are actually sustainable, and also just maintaining overall diversity in the organizations that we
So
we
if
have.
That's the case in your latter part about not just doing something that is just morally or ethically right, something that actually makes absolute business sense, why won't business leaders in the world, global leaders, who understand markets and look at insights and changing markets every single day, why would they not cotton onto that very quickly? What would your thoughts be?
It's a couple of things. The first thing is this lack of awareness of even the benefits of the whole process. Because ultimately, when people hear about gender equality, they think, oh, it's fair, oh, it makes sense, and it ends there, right? But ultimately, what would incentivize you every day? If you're thinking about it as a CEO, if you're thinking about it as a board member, you have an onus of actually increasing shareholder value every single day. And what we're seeing is that a lot of people are not aware that, for example, companies that have women in senior positions, their return on equity is higher by 33%, right? Return on sales higher by 42%. Return on invested capital higher by 66%. Mm-hmm. Those are big numbers. People are not aware of that. And that, for me, is where the problem lies. And then the second part, not just awareness, there's an obvious bias, right? Because then what happens is everyone says, yes, I'm open to having more women in senior positions. But then you look at how they behave, right? So for you to develop a woman and help them get to the next level, you need to sponsor them, you need to mentor them, and you need to help them. And let's be honest, it's easier for men to mentor another man. I mean, it's easier to call them for lunch. It's easier to invite them to a meeting. It's also easier to groom them to a promotion because like attracts like.
Why is it easier? Help me understand that.
Absolutely. It's easier because of the unconscious biases that we have. So, for example, I'm a black female woman, as an example. So I tend to relate better. I mean, it's a generalization, but you relate better to people who look like you, who sound like you, for whatever reason. And then what ends up happening is that the men themselves unconsciously end up giving more attention to the other men in the organization than the women. And, of course, a lot of my clients are senior executives. So I've asked them this, but why is there this bias? And they would say, well, when you ask a woman to lunch, you know, it's sort of a fine line between is it sexual harassment, preferential treatment, et cetera, et cetera. So there's already a society bias that tells you to step away from being closer to the, say, younger females in the organization. And by that nature, what ends up happening is you find that, well, so who's then sponsoring the woman? Who's then inviting them for a lunch or giving them an opportunity? And no one is doing it because they're all scared of the red flags, instead of putting them aside and say, listen, if I do this for a male colleague, let me do it also for a female colleague, because I know already as a man that I have an unconscious bias. Just the same way that women do. We all have biases. I think it's more around you being aware of your own biases and realizing how they influence how you behave as a leader.
And the fact that, you know, companies, organizations get, let's call it brownie points, call them BEE points or affirmative action points in terms of pushing the women's agenda. And we know they do. You're saying even that hasn't actually been a good enough incentive in South Africa?
No, it's not. It's absolutely not. I mean, and the numbers show it. It's not changing anything. And it still goes back to the narrative. I think the narrative is completely wrong. Yes, it's equal and it's fair, but the reason you do it every day, the reason you wake up and you perform at work every day is because you know there's a target that you're working towards. Now, if you knew that that target could be significantly better, right, by you having even 1% more female representation at the top, that would really start changing how people think about what it means to be a successful organization in the world today.
Mm. Okay, welcome your thoughts, 0891-104207. My guest has raised a very important issue about ownership of women empowerment. Who should ultimately take ownership? Is it the obvious answer, which is women, or not so obvious, which is, come on, what about the entire population of people in humanity around the world, not just in South Africa, who clearly are in positions of influence? My guest is Zipho Sikhakane, who's a woman, and I'm emphasizing that point in the context of today's show. But any other day, and this is the point, Zipho, it makes absolutely no difference to me. So I'm wondering why people battle with that, right? Zipho is a global speaker, business strategist specializing in leadership, entrepreneurship, and doing business on the continent. And she has an MBA from Stanford University. Let's get some calls on this issue, and I welcome original thoughts and solutions. So the why, and then what needs to happen. To Cape Town we go. Janusz, go ahead. Hello.
Hi, Ashraf. I think the decision about women is usually done by the men. So the woman got not much of active participation in the issue. But my question is, why is there discrimination? You mentioned about affirmative action and BEE. Why is there big discrimination in regarding the BEE when the certain women got getting the different points and certain not? So I think we should treat a woman as a woman, not as a point given to the regarding the specific color of the skin. Why is it like that?
I'm not sure that's very clear, but thanks for that call. Zipho, you want to answer that? Did you get what was said?
Yeah, I think my understanding of his question is, why is it that people should just be doing it for the point, right? It's logical. And I think he's emphasizing the point that I was trying to make, that people focus on the well, it's fair, why don't you do it? And let's be honest, that argument has not worked, right? Decades later, it has not worked. Now, what I'm saying is, let's shift the narrative and say, but what if you actually go to the core of what incentivizes these men every single day to do their job? And ultimately, their job is to ensure that the organization thrives, it's sustainable, and it's profitable. Now, if you use that as a basis, yes, let's be fair, but at the same time, do you know that you're actually crippling your own organization by not having women representation at the top? That's basically the shift I'm trying to get towards.
So, I mean, let's just stay with that for a moment. Can we say, you know, via empirical evidence that, and it's a point you did touch on earlier on, that it's a certainty that if an organization in terms of its upper echelons is far more diverse, and it could be a cultural diversity as well, so color, cultural diversity, and diverse in terms of male-female split, that over 100 companies that are versus 100 companies that are not, the one that are more diverse will generally outperform the other. Would you say that's a fact, or is that just...
It's a fact 100%. And I think this is the information that needs to be shared much more widely. So I work with teams on diversity all the time. And research, there's lots of research about the value of diverse work teams. But if you just pick the women agenda, just specifically on that one as a form of diversity, I mean, one research study actually showed that the world economy, the world GDP, would have $12 trillion more of GDP in the world by 2025 if we just increase gender equality slightly, right? I mean, those are numbers that are telling you facts. We also look at the Fortune 500 companies. Another study by Catalyst actually compared all the organizations that had female leaders and the ones that didn't in the sort of the top 500 companies, Fortune 500. And same thing, they found that these ones actually overperformed by over 40% on most of the metrics that we look at business performance. So the numbers are there and the numbers are backing this as a fact. What the problem is, the behavior in the organizations hasn't changed because it's still very historic in terms of how we do things. And the only way to change behavior is to start making people see that the performance of your organization can actually be even better if you start looking at these numbers and make it an aim for yourself to go after them. Because guess what? just having one woman at the top gives you an edge over so many other organizations that haven't progressed to that point.
Okay,
yet.
Then moving inward from a global perspective to a South African perspective, are there companies that that you can say that have actively pushed the women in leadership agenda, and as a result of that, we've seen the results, and you certainly can name names if you're doing just. I'll get you a moment to think about that. My guest, Zipho Sikhakane, but you can also, as a listener, call in and give us those names, or you can tweet if you're calling in 0891 104207, but tweets on those names as well. Big companies that are really making a massive difference in escalating women in leadership. Hashtag Afternoon Talk when you do just that. I'm Ashraf Garda.
Ashraf Garda on SAFM.
Certainly lots to talk about around women in the leadership. I mean, I would think, you know, should it be, do you get a sense, however, Zipho, that often it's being put out as a war? You know, it's either or. If you, that means, you know, people look at options with this fine tooth comb. If you appoint someone to a certain job and it's not a woman, that means you're anti-women. If you appoint someone who's a male, and clearly, well, then you're pro. Well, if you don't appoint a woman, you're anti-women. Or if you do that, then you're anti-men, you know, and it gets into a us versus them scenario. Do you find, I mean, how much of a problem is that when companies, you know, unless they have a track record of 10 appointments, all are males, that's different. But on a day-to-day basis, how do you... make decisions where you are then not seen as being guilty of that type of a scorecard on a daily basis?
Yes, yes. And it's very hard, because if you don't have a track record of achieving the gender diversity, which is true for most of our organizations, it's a problem, because then it starts creating a stereotype and a storyline about your organization, the kind of people that are allowed to work there and the kind of people that succeed in that environment. And, you know, we have a big problem with this across many diversity elements in South Africa. So it's a really big problem. And it's, you know, organizations need to really start thinking about, so how do I start shifting, even in my department? I mean, we want to focus the whole big thing and say, yes, the corporate must change, or this big organization must change. But what are you doing in your own department, right, to really help shift on the women agenda? I think for me, it's about individual leaders in the institutions taking more responsibility.
Okay. Well, what about that point that I asked you earlier about, are there companies, organizations in South Africa that really are getting this right?
Yes, yes. There are a couple, but because my clients are confidential, I wouldn't want to share their names on radio. But the point I want to make is that what I've seen in my experience, I work with a lot of executive teams in corporates across South Africa, some of our biggest institutions. And so you see two differences, right? So the organizations that do have some women representation at the top, it's so much better in terms of the leadership team themselves. Now, what I didn't say is, obviously, it is more difficult when you have diversity, because what happens is you have more conflict. You don't automatically agree on everything, right? It's difficult because not everyone has the same conclusion when they see the numbers or when they see the results. So it's harder, but the results are better. And that's the point I want to get to, because the conflict comes because people are bringing different views into the room. And all of a sudden, you start seeing a very, very different perspective. So that's what I wanted to call out as a specific example of something that I've noticed in our own organizations in South Africa.
We'll get to more thoughts. Okay, you can't give names, understandably. Can you give categories in terms of industries? I mean, are there certain industries that perform better in terms of gender diversity, in terms of ensuring that, versus others?
Yes, absolutely. So you find that, for example, in South Africa, I mean, it goes without saying. So if you look at public sector versus private sector, the numbers look very different, right? So the public sector has made much, much more progress in terms of achieving that gender diversity, especially at the top. I mean, if anything, even our own institutions are role models on this compared to other institutions in the world. And then if you look at specific industries, there definitely tends to be a bias, right? So when you look at organizations that are in any way prioritizing the women agenda, then all of a sudden, yes, you see women at the top, which therein lies my problem. Because then you start seeing that, okay, so again, the women agenda is a priority only if the organization exists to support women. And that's basically what I've seen, right? So anything that's, you know, about, let's say, for example, a skills development for certain people, or let's say certain investing companies just focusing specifically on the women agenda, it's very, very different. But other than that, if it's not in your mandate to help women for any reason, then you don't see that transformation at the top. And that, for me, is what I've seen that worries me.
Interesting. We talk about, the unique leadership traits that men and male and female have. I mean, could we agree that they aren't different? Which is not suggesting one is better than the other, but they are different.
Absolutely. And actually, I'm gonna push you on that better point, right? Because this is the problem that I see now. So because you don't have women representation at the top, I mean, even in South Africa, our top 40, only 70% of the executives on the JSE are female. So what that means is that you have a gap, right? Because there's certain traits of leadership that come easier to women, but you don't have those in the boardroom. And they're missing in organization. And I'll give you some examples, right? So women have been proven, I mean, this is actual research. They're actually much better at people development. They're actually much better at building relationships. They're actually much better at integrity, which is a big thing right now if you think of everything that's happening in the world and South Africa. They're actually better at collaboration. So when you don't have women in the room, those skills are missing, right? Now, in the medium to long term, bring a woman into the room so that they can bring those perspectives. But in the short term, actually, the men themselves should be doing some work on improving themselves on those specific skills because those skills are missing in the room. And that's what worries me. I think that's what people are not looking at yet, to say there's something that's missing in how we make decisions. If you pick integrity and you're telling me that all the people that are sitting in the room are less likely to have integrity than if there was a woman in the room, automatically that should tell you that go do an integrity course or bring a woman in the room immediately. So that something needs to change about this.
Okay, what about, let's go to government then. What is government doing to encourage the type of discussion we're just having now in terms of moving the discussion from discussion into action?
Yes. I mean, it's a tough one for me because I always bring back the finger to ourselves as individuals instead of looking at what the state is doing. But look, one thing I keep saying South African government has done right is we are seeing those women, especially if you look at parliament, especially if you look at the leadership positions there. We are seeing them there. Now, the call for me is to then give them the power to influence the decision making, because I'm not sure to what extent that they are able to do that. Because once you allow women to be women, then you're bringing in that value of diversity. But if you bring them in and they're just merely there to tick a box, or they're there, but they're basically just encouraged to be one of the men, you don't get those benefits of having a woman in a senior position. So it's important to push on those traits.
Okay. What about maybe time for a couple of calls? Let's get that now, because I'll look at a few SMSs too. Jerry, I'd like to get your thoughts on this. Go ahead. Hello.
Hello. How are you?
Good. Good talking to you, Jerry. Right? Go ahead.
Okay. I just want to read a portion of a scripture here. Got to do with women. When the serpent in the book of Genesis chapter 3, when the serpent came and beguiled the woman, between the man and the woman, he chose the woman to speak to. And after they ate the fruit, and God gave a curse to these three individuals. The first individual was a serpent, who was the devil. But between the man and the woman, he cursed the woman first. He gave a curse to the woman first. It says here in chapter 3, verse 16 of Genesis, I will sharpen the pain of your pregnancy, and in pain you will give birth, and you will desire to control your husband, but he will rule over you.
Okay, quickly, because we don't have much time. What do you take out of that? Yes.
The point is this, is that this scripture still stands up to today, because when women give birth, they have a lot of pain. So that still stands up to this day, that hasn't been taken away. And the other thing that stands there as well is, and the woman will desire to control her husband. As we see, we all know that the woman desires to control.
No, we can't say we all know that. But you see, that's the part I disagree. First of all, from a script, okay, let's leave it at that. First of all, from a scriptural point of view, you're quoting a certain scripture that you believe, and there are many others who would differ from you completely. But I accept the fact you have the right to believe in that scripture. What we can't say is all women desire to control men. That's like saying you just know this because you got the first-hand knowledge of it. That's the type of sweeping statements we need to avoid. There's another comment I repeat: to effect economic growth and transformation and create employment, we need industries, factories, manufacturers, and export. But this regime's labor and related laws, AA, BE, etc., mining bills, a whole lot, the threat of expropriation without compensation all discourage and obstruct investment. Okay, it doesn't say too much about issues about ladies and women in leadership. I'll get final thoughts, maybe a way ahead to the future, in a moment. Let's get the news headlines now. It's 2:30.
Behind every conversation, there's a story. Afternoon Talk with Ashraf Garda, SAFM, South Africa's news and information leader.
Okay, we're gonna talk tech in a moment, but before we do that, let's just wrap up. Zipo, you may want to just comment on those last two comments we had.
Yes. I think the comments, the first one we just had, it shows you the question that you asked me earlier around where does this come from, right? So for whatever reason, whether it's cultural, it's religious, et cetera, there's many reasons in the past why people have believed that women's place needs to be at home or needs to be not in management. And I guess the point that I'm trying to make is we have now seen how expensive it is to not have women at the top. So let's put them there. But to put them there, let's not make the mistakes that everyone has been making so far, which is first to say, oh, yes, we have one woman now. So you sort this out. It doesn't work that way. It needs to become the agenda of everyone. And when I mean everyone, I'm going to specifically say the men, because they are still the ones in the majority of senior leadership positions in organizations. So they must take this on, but they must also look at themselves and say, so what is it that I can do differently? And all I'm saying is, whatever you're doing to groom a young male, why don't you do the same to groom a young female? So it's already trying to train yourself to see your own biases. But also, get in touch with the research and the insights about what it means to have female representation at the top, because the results do show, right, that this is a difference. And even small things, like, so I give a lot of talks about women and leadership, et cetera, and I'm always inside when in the audience I see that the men have been invited. So a lot of organizations, they go, oh, we're doing something on women, let's invite only the women. And we all talk about women issues and the men have no idea. What I'm saying is bring the men into the room. Educate them about the issues, educate them about the opportunities, because ultimately, let's be honest, unfortunately, they are still the majority of the decision makers when it comes to advancing the women agenda.
Okay. Therefore, in 30 seconds, if you were asked now by the president to say, let's talk about women in leadership, and what's the one thing you'd propose?
I would say give them a chance. That's all I would say, because the mistake that we make is we say, oh, they're not ready for promotion, or they're not good enough, or but they still need to develop this or learn that. No, give them the chance, give them the promotion, give them the position, and watch to see what happens. That's all we have to do.
Okay, and that's where we're going to leave it. I'm going to also encourage you to perhaps tweet some further thoughts on it, because we will check it out right away on Twitter, and examples and maybe women in leadership that you personally are inspired by, if you choose to do just that. Zipo, good chatting to you. Thank you so much, as always. All right?
Thank you.
And that's Zipo Sikhakane, who's a global speaker, business strategist with an MBA from Stanford, but certainly looking at issues of leadership. And that's what she does more often than not. Let's talk tech right after this.